Chapter 6. Science as Religion. If unintelligent design does not explain how living species came to exist, then we don't know how that happened. Can't we just say, "I don't know"? No, we can't. There are questions we don't know the answers to. How did the universe and all living creatures come to exist? Is there a God? And if there is a God, why is this God not supremely obvious to us every moment of our lives? What happens to us when we die? I don't know the answers to these questions. Does anybody know? I don't know the answer to that question either. Of course, there are people that claim to know, but how would I know if they are right, unless I had the same level of knowledge? To explain and deal with the unknown, we have religions, starting with primitive religions that have gods to explain all the forces of nature, especially the frightening ones, such as thunder and volcanoes, and what makes the sun go down. As we have understood the natural causes of these things, we have to rid ourselves of these gods and move to a more advanced God to explain deeper and more profound things, and the more subtle forces such as the spiritual. This raises the question of whether the whole idea of gods or a god isn't just a way of explaining the unknown. When we really understand all the secrets of the universe, will we be able to do away with the concept of a god entirely? Or will we see God in all his glory? We don't know that either. Again, there may be people who know all that, but I, for one, don't know that they know. Religion, where it represents the unknown, is primarily fiction. It has to be fiction, because this is the unknown. When I say fiction, I don't mean that it is false, but only that it is created out of people's imagination. People have had glimpses of the spiritual, and upon these few glimpses, whole cosmologies are built, which are claimed to be the absolute and ultimate truth. A large part of this has to be fabricated, again, because it is unknown. The main characteristic of religion is that it is a rigid belief system. It has to be a rigid belief system, because if it ever changed, that would be an admission that it wasn't the absolute and ultimate truth in the first place. When I use the word religion, I am talking about a rigid belief system. The things we know about, we can argue about rationally, but the things we don't know, we have to fight about to the death. I separate religion from the spiritual. Religion is the way we have dealt with the spiritual in the past. But having a rigid belief system isn't the only way to deal with the spiritual. It is possible to deal with the spiritual using the methods of science, to question, explore, experience, and learn. That way we can reduce the area of the unknown, the same as we have done with the physical. Stephen Jay Gould, in Rocks of Ages, says there is no conflict between science and religion because they operate in non-overlapping magisteria. What he is saying is that science deals with the physical and religion deals with the spiritual. I disagree. Science and religion are really two different ways of thinking. Religion is a rigid belief system, whereas science is open to new discoveries, new knowledge, and possibly overturning old beliefs. There will always be a conflict between a rigid belief system and a system such as science, which is always growing and expanding our knowledge. My knowledge of religion is limited mostly to the Christian religions and the Judeo-Christian Bible. If other religions don't operate the same way, you can add the word Christian every time I say religion. But in the context of physicalism and Darwinism, religion means the Christian religions because physicalism and Darwinism grew out of Western civilization, which has been dominated by Christian religions. If religion is primarily fiction, then why do people believe this fiction? I guess the first answer is that they have been indoctrinated with it as small children. It took me more than 50 years of breaking away from the grip of religion, even to see clearly enough to ask the question. And then the question becomes, how are people indoctrinated? And the answer to both questions is the same. It all goes back to when we were very small children and our parents were like gods to us, all-powerful and all-knowing. We looked to them for all the answers. The idea that it was possible for someone to have all the answers was imprinted on our minds. We carry with us a residue of that time. Then, as I have said before, this is reinforced when we go to school, where the teacher has all the answers, and our place is only to memorize. Sunday school is the same, but now we are being told to believe on an even higher authority, the Word of God. So we have all been conditioned to believe that this kind of authority can really exist. We believe religion as an explanation of the unknown, because we don't know, and somebody seems to know with great certainty. So we believe on the basis of their claimed authority. There is a social need for this kind of authority in dealing with the unknown. It makes people feel more comfortable and secure to know that somebody has all the answers. If all the priests and preachers suddenly disappeared one day, there would be a social need to replace them. This social demand for authorities is at the root of many social problems, including religious intolerance, war, and dirty science. It isn't so much the fault of the scientists who play the role of authorities as it is the fault of the people who believe them. With the kind of conditioning we have had since early childhood, it is not surprising that people believe there are authorities who have all the answers. But at some point in our growing up process, it would be desirable for us to recognize that these teachers and preachers are human beings just as we are, making human errors just as we do, and that our all-knowing parents were really not all-knowing, but only appeared to be, relative to what we knew as very small children. That revelation came to me in psychotherapy. I was furious at my boss because he had made some kind of mistake. I realized I was angry because I saw him as the idealized parental figure from early childhood. Expected him to be perfect. When I was able to see him as a human being like myself, I forgave him for his mistakes, and the anger went away. In the same way, scientists are human beings like the rest of us, and subject to errors and bias and prejudice and in-group pressures and psychological needs to dominate. It may take psychotherapy for people to recognize that scientists are not idealized parental figures speaking truth with authority. It may take psychotherapy even for people to recognize what is authority and what is not. Science is an authoritarian system. Scientists prove things to be believed by other people, as differentiated from people proving things to themselves. We can all use scientific methods to prove things to ourselves. First-hand knowledge is our primary source of knowledge. But science provides us with an important secondary source of knowledge. We can believe what scientists have proved, verified, by scientific method, with the same reservations as we would have about things we have proved to ourselves. We are all human beings and subject to error, even though science as a system tends to minimize errors. There is legitimate authority in what scientists have proved, verified, by the scientific method, although not the 100% perfection we would expect and demand from idealized parental figures. Outside of what has been determined by the scientific method, scientists have no legitimate authority at all. Outside their fields of expertise and without reference to scientific studies or findings, their opinions are no more valuable than those of the man in the street. There are two meanings of the word authority. One refers to knowledge, and the other refers to power. In early childhood, when our parents were as gods to us, they had both. They were both all-powerful and all-knowing. And as small children, we may not have even differentiated these two authorities. But as we grow up, I think most of us learn the difference. Or maybe we don't learn the difference, because the beliefs of religions and in-groups are enforced by social pecking. Historically, heretics and psychics were burned alive, the most painful kind of death, as I have read. If you look up torture on the internet, you will find other horrible things that people did to other people, simply because those who were supposed to believe did not agree with those in power. So knowledge, historically, has been controlled by power. The truth has been what those in power have said it was, enforced by unbearable tortures. It is only recently that governments have granted to individuals the freedom to speak and write what they believe, and that system doesn't quite yet work, because persons recognized as authorities can severely damage other people's reputations, and most of us don't have enough money to sue them. I would like to use the word authoritarianism to mean belief on the basis of perceived authority. But the word authoritarianism is defined in my dictionary, Merriam-Webster, strictly in terms of power. The power of governments to have very real authority of life and death over individuals. We have no word to mean the fake authority of individuals and religions that have set themselves up as authorities, but really don't know what they're talking about. But we have freedom of religion. So that if we don't like what our religion is telling us to believe, we can move to another religion and not worry about being burned alive. Even in this case, the word religion is restricting. Does this mean religion as I have defined it, or as it has historically existed as a rigid belief system, claiming to be the absolute and ultimate truth, and reinforced on its members by extreme pain or threats of extreme pain, such as burning in hell forever? Or can we be loose constructionists and extend the legal meaning of religion in our Constitution to include any belief system? Only with freedom to have any beliefs and speak and write about those beliefs without social pecking can we separate knowledge from power and extend the meaning of the word authoritarianism to mean belief on the basis of perceived authority. So it should be easy to see, given this psychological need of human beings to replace idealized parental figures with authority figures, that when science swept away the old religious mythology, something had to replace the old religious authority. Science became the obvious choice, and scientists were swept into this social role as priesthood. They were a perfect fit for the job. They could claim that nothing existed beyond the physical, and their knowledge of the physical was certainly authoritative. But to the extent that they assumed this role, they ceased to be scientists and became physicalists. I suggest an alternative that would be more appropriate for people who would like to preserve their integrity as scientists. I have adopted the cosmology set forth by Eklal Kuashana, known as the Brotherhood's philosophy. The cosmology itself is not important. It is a more plausible version of the Christian mythology. What is important is that the first rule of this cosmology is that it is to be treated as a working hypothesis and not as absolute truth, which has to be believed absolutely. So I make the suggestion to physical scientists that they treat their belief in a purely physical universe as a working hypothesis only, so that they can be open as true scientists to evidence which might contradict it. There might also be the thought among physical scientists that to concede that there are spiritual aspects to reality means going back to the old religious beliefs. That doesn't have to happen. The culture is moving forward. Carl Jung managed to break through the domination of physicalism to discover spiritual aspects of human beings independent of religion. Generations from the hippies onward have recognized that religion and the spiritual are two different things. Studies are being carried out in subjects such as reincarnation, the power of prayer, communication with spirit entities, and spiritual healing, without making any reference to the Bible or postulating the existence of God. True scientists should be welcoming these studies, as they help us break through the dogma of a purely physical universe and encompass a broader view.